something going on I don't know about. Yeah. You think God's good? Oh my. This has been a great week of prayer. There have been some early morning awakenings that God has done. There's been a lot of people gathered together here and there. And I hope that you've been blessed by being a part of what this concert of prayer this week. It's been a great time for me. I've experienced a great time with God. This is a great way to start the year, and as we set this past week aside for a special time of prayer, it's important that we understand that it doesn't end here. This is just the beginning. Our prayer life should continue to grow and intensify. God loves to have us pray. Prayer, I mean, it's just such a fascinating thing. It's God's will for us to be a praying people and to have this lifestyle of prayer. It's vital for us as individuals, and it's vital for New Hope as a church. As a matter of fact, our prayers are as vital as breathing. Would you agree to that? If you're breathing, you know how important that is. New Hope exists to do things that under our own strength and ability, we can't do. We can't do what God has asked us to do as a people without His supernatural grace, without His ability. Like Dave said, no prayer, no prayer, no power. We all have conversations during the week. And there is no conversation that you will have in your life that is more important than the conversation that you have on a regular basis with God. There's some incredible aspects of prayer that I think we skim over. Prayer is our weapon against spiritual attack. It's our method of confessing our sins to God. It's our instrument of praise to Him. Prayer is that simple conversation between the loved child and the caring father. Prayer is the language of our new nature. Remember how Paul described us as being new creatures in Christ? Our prayers are the language of that new nature in Christ. And our prayer is to be persistent. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, Paul says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. He says, devote yourself to prayer. Devote there is proskarteo, and it means to stay by, to persist at, to occupy oneself diligently with something. And the verb that is used there is in a form of a command, and it's not just a command, not a one-time command, but the form that the verb is in tells us that this is to be an ongoing thing. It's an ongoing command. In other words, when he says devote yourself, he means always and forever devote yourself to prayer. Now, this whole idea of prayer is so incredible. It's an incredible concept, and it has always fascinated me. Always fascinated me. If you remember from last week, Paul says in Thessalonians 5, he says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It's God's will for us to pray. He wants us to be a praying people. Now think about this. This is what is so fascinating to me about prayer. Think about this. Nothing, absolutely nothing in the universe happens outside of God's influence and authority. Amen? He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God has absolutely no limitations. As a matter of fact, let's review some of the statements that Scripture makes about God from Colossians 1:16. God created all things and he holds all things together. God knows all things past, all things present, all things future. There's no limit to his knowledge. He knows everything that it is possible to know. And he knows everything completely before some of it even happens. We can see that from Romans chapter 11. Nothing takes him by surprise. You know, when terrible things happen or good things happen or life just kind of works out the way it is, God doesn't sit back and go, oh my goodness. Oh my. What are we going to do about that? He's in control. Yep, saw that coming 30 million years ago. He is sovereign. He is able to accomplish all things. Nothing is too difficult for him. I had this come to my mind this week. I was praying and it was, I don't know, sometime around 2 o'clock one night this week. And Janine was on my heart. I woke up and it's just, pray for Janine, pray for Janine. And as I was praying, this idea came to my mind. There is nothing too difficult for him. Nothing. Wow. If he wants to make some woman's water thing, whatever they call that, thick, he'll make it thick. If he wants to restore that child to perfect health and condition, he will do it. What a great God. Nothing is too difficult for him. Whatever he wants to do in the universe, he does. For nothing is impossible for him. Jeremiah 32:17. God is sovereign. He's sovereign over the angels and Satan and his demons. Psalms 103:20-21. God is sovereign over all the nations. Psalms 47:7-9. God is in control of all things and rules over all things. All means all. There are no exceptions. And this is what sovereignty means. It means the ultimate source of all power, all authority, and everything that exists. He is sovereign. And only God can make those claims of sovereignty. And it's God's sovereignty that makes him superior to all other small g gods. And it's his incredible sovereignty that makes him and him alone worthy of our worship. Amen. Glory to God. God is perfect in every way. Perfect in every way. And he will remain incorruptible. He cannot lie. Numbers 23:19 tells us, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Whatever he says, that's what is. He's perfect, and his perfection will never tarnish or change. Now, that's a reminder of who it is we're talking about and who it is we communicate in prayer. And this sovereign God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, creator of the universe, the one who holds everything together, he says, please, my people, pray. He wants us to pray. He wants us to petition God for our heart's desires. And you know, when you think about it, what our heart needs most is God. What we need more than anything else is to know him and trust him and love him and obey him. We can come to him with our every desire. We should also come to God with more than just asking. We should come confessing sins. God, I am a sinner. I have failed again. Forgive me. Please, Lord. And we should come to him giving thanks and praise. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for healing us. Thank you for providing for us. Thank you that you hold it all together. Prayer, this lifestyle of prayer, includes all of that. That's why I believe Paul says in Colossians 4:2, devote yourselves to prayer. Keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Thanking God should always be a part of prayer. Oh my. What an interesting concept. It's God's will that we, His creatures, He created us. And it's His will that we ask Him for things and thank Him for His goodness. And it's not only His will. It goes beyond that. It's more than just His will. It's His delight. You know, one of the things that disturbs me sometimes when I get around believers is that they have this image of God as this harsh, old man with a beard like Tim's. And lest there be any confusion, God may have hair, Tim's losing his. So we have this image of God that He's harsh and strict. And yes, there is a harshness in His wrath. But can you picture Him delighted? How do you picture delight? Hey, that's nice. A little smile. Delight to me goes, yeah, that is so fun. When I picture delight, I think of a young man that we took with one of the youth groups one time to an amusement park. And he's 16, 17, somewhere in there. Never, ever been to an amusement park. Never in 16, 17 years been on a roller coaster. We put him on the Mind Racer. And he got over there and he's like this. He's just, wow, I had no idea there was anything this fun. And he's bouncing around. He's going off just crazy with delight. God wills that we pray, and He's delighted when His creatures pray. He loves it when we ask Him whatever. Even if we ask Him something, He says, no, good prayer. But I got something better. The answer for your prayer is no, but thanks for asking. And I got something better for you because now I see where your heart's at. It's His delight. He loves for us to come to Him and pray, and He loves it. He's delighted in it. He wants us to ask Him for things. Proverbs 15:8 tells us, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. The other side of the proverb, but the prayer of the upright is His delight. It's His delight. And He's eager. He's eager to hear prayers and to respond to them. This is a huge help for our faith and our prayer life, to know that God wants us to be persistent. He wants to find us coming to Him, experiencing Him, being with Him, carrying on a conversation with Him. He's not bothered by our prayers. He's not bothered with our continual asking. He's not bothered by devoted prayer. The Creator of the universe who holds our life in our hands and rules the world, the universe, loves and is delighted to have us pray. Isn't that fascinating? That the very one who spoke everything into existence loves to hear your prayers. Just seems so amazing. Why would God do that? If I was God, I wouldn't do that. He delights in our prayer. There's never going to be an opportunity when there's too many. One of the misconceptions that some people have is that if we're all praying, if we're all in this devoted prayer thing, there'll be too much. I don't want to bother him. He's pretty busy. He's got the whole universe to deal with. So I don't want to knock too often. Then your image and your understanding of God is way too little. He can handle it. He can handle all of the prayers of all of the people all the time, nonstop. He's God. He delights in our prayers. And there's a description that goes even beyond just His will and His delight for our prayers. And that is that our prayers are so deeply special that it becomes something that He loves. In Revelation chapter 5, in the future, as John has given us this image, in Revelation 5:8, it says this: when He, I believe that's referring to Jesus, had taken the books, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and a golden bowl, and golden bowls full of incense. I'm going to stop right there because this is worship. This is worship at the throne of God. And what's the incense? Which are the prayers of the saints. Who are the saints? The prayers of the saints? Who are the saints? It's not just a football team. Who are the saints? We who believe are the saints. Wow. Bowls of incense. Prayer then is this loved thing, this worshipful thing that God expects from us, that God desires from us, that He enjoys. Now, the answer to the question of why God holds prayer in such significance really goes back to His nature. It's God's nature. One of God's perfections is that He gives. Acts 17, 24, 25. The God who made the world and all things in it, since He is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is He served by human hands, as though He needed anything, since He Himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. That is His nature. God is always the giver. Being a giver is a glorious thing. There is an obvious difference between being a giver and being a getter. We've all been probably on either side of that. God is a giver. The difference between a giver and a getter is that getters look needy. Givers look self-sufficient. God is self-sufficient. Perfectly self-sufficient. He needs nothing. He needs nothing. If there was something that He was lacking, He would no longer be perfect. He would no longer be God. God doesn't need anything. He is a perfect giver. Giving, giving, giving. And that fits because everything that exists is His anyway. Your life is His. The very breath that you breathe is His. The world that we live on, this planet, it's His. The universe that it's placed in, it's His. Everything is His. We humans, in contrast to God, are totally needy. Everything we need and have comes from God. He's the giver, we're the getter. Are we to be givers too? Yes, that's true. but He is the giver. Now, in our discussion several times that we've had about worship, we come to realize that our purpose as humans is to worship God. We were created to worship. God made us to be people who worship. That's what we were created to do. God's will for us to pray because He wants to see Himself gloriously self-sufficient, and He wants us to understand ourselves as totally and completely needy. Does that sound selfish to you? It shouldn't. His nature is of giving. He has everything to give and needs nothing. We have nothing and we need everything. That's just the way it is. Psalms 50:15, it says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I shall rescue you and you will honor me." Wow. Okay. Prayer is worship. It's glorifying Him. It's building Him up. It's making everything around us and everything that we do and touch as worship in prayer. Glorify Him. What a testimony to your midwife. You know, all of us that have been praying for you, it doesn't surprise us. We know who did it. God did it. I don't have a problem with that. God answers our prayers and rescues us, and He gets the glory and the honor. We pray, He gets the honor and the glory. This is the point that Jesus makes in John 14:13. "Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son." It's a part of us being who God made us to be, people of worship. So why do we ask for things? So the Father may be glorified. Why do we pray for the sick? Why do we pray for help financially? Why do we pray for those who are discouraged or depressed? Why do we pray that God will move amongst His people? Why? Why do we bring anything to the Lord in prayer? So that the entire universe will see Him as glorious as He really is. It's to bring Him glory. God's will is for us to pray and to ask Him for things, to ask for help. This is His will. It's also His delight. And we can understand this because this all comes from His nature. And it also comes from our nature. His nature is perfectly self-sufficient. Ours is destitute and needy. Wow. What a concept. In His love for us, He delights to show us His goodness, His fullness, His strength, and His wisdom. God loves to meet the needs of His humble, dependent, praying people because it magnifies Him. Because it magnifies Him. It magnifies His goodness and riches. And it also brings us joy. Isn't it joyful to know when we've been praying intensely for something and God gives us an answer that is so obvious? Isn't it nice to know? Doesn't it give you a warm, fuzzy kind of feeling to know that God loves to hear us pray? It doesn't matter what the answer is. Our Father loves us. That's incredible. That is awesome. And in His love, He wants us to pray. Prayer then is essential. According to Isaiah 43:7, we're created for His glory. "Everyone who is called by my name and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made." Everyone is created for His glory. We are His glory. Let's pray. All that has been created is meant to glorify Him, and people created in His image bring glory to Him. When we diligently look to Him. When we look to Him, our needs are satisfied. He perfects those needs and wants. We receive what we need and are filled with joy and gratitude, and God gets all the glory. God gets all the glory. This is prayer. And it's so important. Prayer is not some minor task that we do. Prayer is not some ritual thing on a religious to-do list. Prayer is really at the heart of why we were created. Prayer is at the heart of everything that God created. Prayer glorifies God. Prayer should not be a tiresome chore. It should be our life. In devoted prayer, as we look at this thing of prayer, and some of you have experienced this many times, there's some different facets of prayer. In devoted prayer, you may come to God desperate. Your prayer may be one of desperation. You may come to God delighted yourself, just overjoyed. You may come to God heavy with concern. You may come to God with incredible excitement. Prayer is meeting God with your deepest feelings and passions. Meeting Him with your highest praise and your most heartfelt thanks. Coming into God's presence with burdens and finding the joy of His presence overwhelming the weight of those burdens. I come to You, God, with a heavy heart, and He says, I know. I love You, and I'll help You. And suddenly, the burden's not oppressive. What a deal. This gives us a greater understanding about what Paul said back in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Prayer is central to God's purpose for us. Being devoted to prayer, persevering in prayer, glorifies God. When you are devoted to prayer, when you have a lifestyle of prayer, you are glorifying God. I want us to look at some verses and consider the way the New Testament communicates this importance of prayer. We've seen today two verses, Colossians 4:2 and 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Devote yourself to prayer. Pray without ceasing. Jesus also taught the persistence of prayer. He said in Matthew 7:7-8, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. And in Luke 18:1, it says, now he, Jesus, was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. At all times, they ought to pray. Jesus Himself modeled persistent prayer. Luke 6:12. It was at this time that He went off to the mountain to pray, and He spent the whole night in prayer to God. I read a story this week about a man who had an incredible prayer life. And he was a musician, and he would pray, and he would pray, and he would pray, and he'd go to his hotel room at night, and he would begin to pray, and he'd get tired, and he'd get sleepy, and prayer became harder and harder. It's a challenge to stay awake, and he knew he needed to pray more, and he'd start pacing, and he'd pray, and he'd walk across the motel room, and he would pray, and he would pray, and he'd pray, and he'd pace back and forth to keep himself awake so he could pray for hours. And there were other musicians with him that would say things like, yep, he walked about 10 miles last night. Always praying. In Luke 22:41-44, it says, and he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and began to pray, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours. What an incredible prayer. persistence. And if you remember where he's at when he prayed that prayer, it's in the garden before he's going to be taken. And as I shared last week, he prays that prayer with such intensity that he begins to bleed. And his blood and his sweat are mixed together. Persistent prayer. We have the example of the first church, which was a praying church. Acts 1:14, these all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Continually devoting themselves to prayer. Acts 2:42, Pentecost, the day the church was born. And it says they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. As the church was formed, they came together and they spent time together praying. Wow. So what does all this mean for us? What do we do with this? Well, we pray often. We pray regularly. We begin to develop within us a lifestyle that is consumed with prayer. Always praying. Anyone can do this. A school child. Someone nearing the end of life. We make prayer regular. Prayer is not to be infrequent. It's not to be hit or miss. It's not optional. And that word devoted, it means that we're neither distracted nor forgetful. It means that we're consumed by it. So what do? We take steps to make certain that prayer is our lifestyle. Maybe for our own personal prayer, we find a place that we're comfortable in being alone, and we use that place and we protect that place and we protect that time. We say, no, I'm sorry, this is when I pray. We go through life with the expectation that God is ready and willing and delighted to hear our prayers. So we get in a car, we pray. If we travel, we pray. If we go to work, we pray. If we're doing something with friends and having fun, we pray. There's been many times when I've been skiing, I needed to pray. What do you mean it's a double black diamond? Yeah. Oh, God. Pray constantly. You do whatever is necessary to constantly be praying. Now, that's what we do during the day. That's fine, that constant prayer. But we also need to pray alone in personal times of communication with our Heavenly Father. We need those times when it's just the two of us. We're not doing anything else. It's just us and Father. There are also times when we need to get together. We need to come together corporately, like we did this morning, and pray. You know, on Sunday mornings when we have that prayer and praise time, and one of the men gets up and we pass the microphone around and we hear all the requests. Are you praying? Or are you going, this is going to push pastor's time back? Are you connecting with those needs? Are you connecting with what we're doing? We're coming together as the body of Christ and we're saying we're going to bombard the throne room of heaven with the incense of our prayer, and we're going to continue to ask him. So if we're praying for somebody this morning, somebody who's sick, somebody who has a need. I counted this morning, there's over 90 of us this morning total. Is there 90 prayers being offered up? If we're praying for Janine, is there 90 of us calling upon God? If there is, do you think he notices that? Or is there only one or two? We need to have that corporate prayer with brothers and sisters. Now, it is true that we can pray on the run. We can go through our day and we can pray here and pray there. Pray when we open the car door. Pray when we go down the street. Pray. We can pray. We can fit words of prayer into every aspect of our life. That's possible. But you know what, brothers and sisters? We need to also have regular times when the only event, the only thing happening is prayer. That's all we're about. Completely, totally focused, connected to our Father. Jesus said this in Matthew 6:6. He said, "But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." There is a time when you and I need to be alone with our Father God and be absolutely honest. Both ways. Oh God. Oh God. We've had a great week of prayer, but it cannot stop here. This has to go on. If we want to see God loosed in the surface Creek Valley, if we want to see His mighty hand in the lost friends and family that we know, we need to be a people of prayer. I want to see God use us as a church. Our church, our community, our nation, and the world need this kind of maturity. We need mature believers. And I don't mean mature just in years. Not years. I'm not talking about age. I'm talking about the wisdom and the fruitfulness of a spiritual life. And the wisdom and the fruitfulness of a spiritual life is first recognized by whether or not you're willing to devote yourself to prayer. This body needs you to pray. Our community needs you to pray. Our nation needs you to pray. Our world needs you to pray. My dream then for New Hope, more than you can imagine what I dream for New Hope, is that individually, and I look around the room and I see your lovely, beautiful faces. And my desire is that individually you would be captivated by this fantastic privilege of prayer. And that corporately this same thing, this same captivity, this devotion to prayer would happen. That we would consciously make the choice to be a people of prayer. My dream is for hundreds and hundreds of people in the daily discipline of intimate prayer. 90 of us daily praying. Oh God, how I long for that. Daily bringing desires, confessing sins, thanking and praising God for His perfections, crying out for help and deliverance, and passionately interceding for the lost and for those who are in need. Wow. I long deeply as a pastor to hear of husbands and wives praying together, not just at meals, but out loud for each other, for marriage, for children, for the church, for neighbors, for missionaries, for the kingdom of God. For the kingdom of God to be seen like at no other time in history. My heart cries and dreams of fathers, men, to be passionately engaged in prayer for their families, like warriors. I was praying this week and the thought came to mind. We used to tease one another. I don't even know where it got started. Strong like bull. Where's the men? We're willing to pray willing to get together, willing to pray over their families, pray for their children, pray with their children, pray for the lost, pray for the church, pray for the nation, to be strong like bull for God. Oh, God. How that would change things in so many families. I dream of small groups that meet and pray and lay hands on each other for healing and reconciliation, that pray for the lost and for spiritual endurance. And I have an incredible desire and dream of people, young people, who will boldly, without shame or regret, pray for their generation. Pray that their families would hang tight with God. Young people who would pray for their schools, pray for their generation to be the next generation of believers to represent the kingdom of God on this planet. That's my goal. That is one of the biggest dreams I have as a pastor, is to see individuals and corporately a people of prayer. Passionately, purposely, and without question, without interruption, without distraction, regularly bombarding heaven with our desires, our requests. The time to do this is now. The planet Earth is racing towards the end. There are people around us that are on their way to hell, an eternity separated from God, an eternity in total pain and trial and tribulation. God wants us to pray. Start now. No prayer, no power. Let's pray. Father, you are magnificent and glorious and perfect. And we are sinners. And so needy. I thank you this morning, Father God, that you are the giver, that you're self-sufficient. I thank you, Father, that you've told us and shown us and demonstrated for us that you are capable of doing anything, that there's no limit to your power and your knowledge and your understanding. I thank you, Father God, that as we draw close to you, that it delights you. Oh, to delight, my Father. Father, forgive us for neglecting such a privilege as prayer. I thank you that you've placed your Spirit in us, that as we become your people, you reside in us. And speak to us. Stir us up, Father God, to increase our prayer, to increase our passion in prayer. Protect us, Father God, from ridicule. Protect us, Father God, from distractions. Help us, Father God, to have such a heavenly vision of who you are, of your greatness and goodness. And we thank you, Father God, that you answer our prayers, that you care for us, that you heal us, that you take us to a new and better place. Thank you for this time we can gather today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand.